You hear that sound? That's your wake-up call to download FanDuel to start getting more excitement, drama, and action out of every single play. Because that sound, that's the sound of the clock ticking on the 2023 NFL season. Now I know what you're saying. Hey, voiceover guy, there's plenty of football left. And to that I say, well, aren't you lucky? You've still got time to cherish the season before February comes around and Sunday is just that day you head to the grocery store to stock up on oat milk.
Great, 50 cents off. Woohoo.
The NFL season is precious, so this year get even more out of every pass, every rush, and every tackle with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. Make every moment more with FanDuel. 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At KeyBank, we understand what you need to run a middle market company. We bring a team of strategists and problem solvers to design and deliver solutions critical to your business's success. KeyBank offers industry expertise, investment banking and capital markets, payment automation, loans and lines of credit, plus equipment financing. Connect with your local KeyBank team. Learn more at key.com/commercial.
All right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast. Today, well, we're going to talk about a badass of history. We're talking about Bass Reeves. Now, I actually didn't even really know about Bass Reeves. We kind of reached out to the audience to make suggestions and comments on who would be, you know, the right guy. And I got actually several recommendations for Bass Reeves. So, you know, I was like, oh, I better dig into this. And turns out, Deputy U.S. Marshal Bass Reeves. Kevin, what do you know about this guy?
Yeah, well, I didn't know anything about him either until I started looking him up and reading about him. Definitely an interesting dude. Born a slave. First black deputy. Was he a deputy marshal?
I don't know about the first one, but he was one of the first. Let's go with that.
All right.
First one, and that's a stretch. Go on.
Yeah. So he was born in Texas before Texas. Well, he was born in Arkansas, but as a baby,
but it's really to Texas. Anyway.
I mean, yeah. Well, it was Paris, Texas is where he was, where he escaped from. Basically, he was born a slave. And there's a lot of different stories about how he stopped being a slave. But basically, he asked his master, George Reeves, if he could like learn or read and write. And he said, I'm going to teach you something better. I'm going to teach you how to handle a gun.
Yes.
And so he would practice like day and night with him. And he taught himself to be ambidextrous so he could use both his hands. He always carried two Colt revolvers later on and used both of them just as easily. And then at some point, it's probably likely that he got into a argument over cards with George Reeves and knocked him unconscious and then just took off. Maybe stole his horse, maybe didn't, but he took off and went out to the Indian territories.
All right. So went out to the Indian territories. Now that's a thing. So what it was basically the land that was given to the Indians, the territory at the time, the federal government had no jurisdiction over. So basically, if you were a slave, they couldn't and wouldn't come get you if you hung out with the Indians. So right. That was the thing. So a lot of criminals and a lot of former slaves all kind of migrated to this Indian territory.
Right, where there's no U.S. law.
Right.
Yeah.
And the upside to that is, one, he learned the territory, but two, he learned to speak he learned to communicate with the five different tribes, whether that's different dialects or five distinct languages, you know, whatever. I don't know. I wasn't there. But bottom line, he, you know, learned to communicate with all the Indians, and that was a big thing because it's going to play out later.
Now, he then finds a wife, Nellie Jenny.
Right.
Nellie Jenny marries her and later goes on to have, I think it's 11 babies. Now, I actually heard 9 sometimes, and I heard 11 sometimes. You know, I think once you get after 5, like, how do you even remember anymore?
Right. You can't even keep track of that. Never.
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, that's how that stuff goes. But, right. So he, once he left the Indian territory, he actually set up a farm and was a farmer for about 30 years. And they say quite a successful farmer, and ended up owning a decent amount of land and a decent amount of stuff. So he was kind of doing all right, just doing that.
Right.
But then where's the turn? Where's the twist?
Well, he kind of was the inspiration for the Lone Ranger in a lot of these stories, right? But he ended up going to work for a guy named Judge Isaac Parker. Now, Isaac Parker was also known as the hanging judge because he had hung 6 people all in the same day and got the name after that and kind of just kept going with it. So a lot of these guys that Bass Reeves went out after were like, if they got captured and went to jail, they were getting hung. They knew that. Like, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like, oh, all right, well, you know, I'll go serve my time and wrap it up.
But that's the thing, though. This is where the hardened criminals go. This isn't the guy who snuck the pack of gum out of the, saw the gum at the end of the counter and took it out of the display. Now, it's not like that. These are guys who are like, you know, fuck the law and I'm going to do what I want. You know, this is the kid types, right? The crazies.
Right. Right. And you always hear about, I don't know what the deal is, but you never hear about Bass Reeves, but you always hear about Billy the Kid and Buffalo Bill and Wild Bill Hickok. For some reason, they're all named Bill, but all the Bills you hear about, you don't hear about the Basses.
Well, Bass is still a B name, you know, so you have a theme. All right. But I think so. Part of that, right, is because he's a former slave and they didn't read and write. Right. That's the thing.
Right. And, you know, he kind of got his start. What he was doing was whiskey smugglers.
Well, hang on.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
So I was just going to say that. So with a lot of these guys, the reason they live in infamy, Billy the Kid and whatever, either somebody takes a shine to them and is writing stories about them, or they're writing their own story. You know, remember there was that, what is it, Wild Bill Hickok, or one of them had that like traveling road show about, hey, I was a badass.
Right.
A road show about it,
right.
You know, or whatever. And they, you know, Calamity Jane and all them, you know, they hung out and whatever. So that's the thing. Self-promotion kind of helps you live in infamy. And I don't think Bass Reeves was that guy. He kind of came across as the humble and, you know, a little more reserved guy. But like you said, so there was one of the things, the Indian territory, alcohol was illegal.
Right.
So, or whiskey was illegal. I don't know about alcohol in general. So I assume that's kind of the go-to.
Right.
But so what happened?
Well, he got good at figuring out where these guys were traveling, you know, because you wouldn't travel on the main roads. You try and take alternate routes to get out there. When you're smuggling things, you don't go through all the checkpoints and the towns and everything, right? So he first started figuring out what roads they were traveling on and wait for him. But, you know, he kept nailing all these guys, but, you know, you're getting 3 or 4 barrels of whiskey at a time. You're not solving a problem, you know? It's like sticking a finger in a dike. So he started figuring out who is making it and where they're actually crossing the river and distributing it to different smugglers. Judge Parker got him. You know, the thing with Bass Reeves is he always worked alone or with one like posse man. He just hires some guy that knew that area.
And that kind of fits the whole
travel around
thing. Right.
Right. Right.
I got to say, a lot of the marshals, that was kind of the MO, was they would have like a tracker, a guide with them, you know, just somebody kind of who was familiar with the area, even though, mind you, that's where he started out as that guy kind of thing.
Right.
And could speak the languages and navigate with the Indians. But then they would travel with a wagon, a cook, and a tracker. Now the cook's going to come into play later, but
right.
Let's, so anyway, so he would have a guy with him, and
right.
So what happens?
And so then they started making big busts, like the guys that were actually producing the whiskey or buying the whiskey to sell it out, and actually like started putting a dent in these big whiskey operations, smuggling operations. You know, it's basically like you know, catching up with, you know, the head of the mob, or catching the head of the cartel. But this pissed a lot of people off. So they started sending him out further and further with more and more warrants, right, at a time. And he couldn't read or write. He was never learned how to read or write. So he would take like stacks of 15, 20 warrants, and he would have to just memorize in order the names that were on there. So that if he, you know, caught up with somebody, he could take like one out of, you know, six down. That's this guy, you know? So he had a really good memory, but had never learned to read or write. And that was probably part of the reason why a lot of the stories are unknown.
Unknown, right. Now, right. He did have a trick for figuring out the warrants, though, too, that he kind of... Now, Bass Reeves kind of... They said that he liked disguises. And... Right. You know, it's funny, people think, you know, he likes the different, you know, dressing up as whatever, but basically it was pretty much, and I think that's where people tie the Lone Ranger and the mask, you know, it kind of comes into play.
Right.
But I think where it kind of comes from, like he would be, it seemed like if anybody ever asked him, hey, are you Bass Reeves? He was always like, no, I'm not that guy.
And yeah, he wasn't the guy that walked into the casino and like right. Bond, James that's Bond.
His master of disguise, though, as far as I could tell. Like he would, they said that he would act like a homeless drunk guy, and he would just kind of lay there, you know, in the bar and whatever.
Or like outlaw, and he would fall in with groups of outlaws.
Right.
And then and figure out who everybody was and put them under arrest. Right. Yeah.
And there's a couple stories that'll, you know, we'll kind of talk about that kind of will dictate or, you know, explain that a little bit further. But yeah, he used to, you know, kind of be a little sneaky. But anyway, what I was going to say is one of his MOs was he would hand people their own warrant, and he would be like, hey, you know, I can't read. Can you read this to me?
Mm-hmm.
And they would look at the paper and either start reading it or just stare at it. And while they're looking at it, he would get the drop on them.
Mm-hmm.
And being like quick draw guy, and, you know, his MO, he, you know, he'd really get the jump on a lot of people just through that technique.
Yeah.
So that was one of the, you know, I don't know that he needed the help reading the warrant. Yeah, you know, I'm sure he didn't because, like we said, good memory, memorized, you know, and I'm sure they were like hand-drawn pictures at the time, but, you know,
right,
whatever.
Right. Yeah. Another thing that kind of shows how quick he was with the quick draw, which, you know, a lot of that stuff, a lot of those stories from the Wild West about quick draws and shit, that's all kind of bullshit, but he really was quick with his revolvers. He had two Colt revolvers that he always carried with him and a Remington rifle. And, he was out riding looking for a couple of guys that he had warrants for and three guys that were wanted for stealing horses and were involved in a lot of missing people. He didn't have warrants for him, but they thought he was coming after them. So they waited for him. And when he came, you know, came up through the trail, they all jumped out and had him, you know, had him dead to rights. And they had him, you know, put his hands up and get off his horse and, you know, not go near his Colt revolver. So he got down off his horse and he asked him if any of them had a pencil, so that he could write the date that he captured him.
Smart.
And they started laughing and he shot all three of them before they got him.
you know, hey, that's it. You know, mm-hmm. that's part of his trick. Yeah, there was another one later in his career. He's going down the road, and the two guys kind of ran up with him, and they're like, hey, you know, we think you're Bass Reeves, and we think you might be looking for us. And he's like, no, I'm not that guy. That's not me. Mm-hmm. And they were like, no, really, we're pretty sure. We're going to, you know what, you're coming with us. And they put him on the horse, and they said, we're going to take you into town, and we're going to find out, you know, who you are, and we're going to get, you know, we're going to get you. And they start going into town and hoping to come across somebody, and they don't find anybody. And they're like, you know what? We're tired of carrying this guy. I believe they used some inappropriate language that you use, you know, is what, how I read the story. But right. Anyway, so they go on and they're like, you know what, dude, we're just going to kill you because we don't have time for this. Do you have any last requests? Cause we're just going to shoot you in the head. And he's like, well, you know what? I do have this letter in my bag from my wife. And I can't read and everything. It would be awesome if you could read it to me before I die. So at least I can be thinking of her, you know, and that's, mm-hmm. Now there was a little interpretation embellishment there in my part, but that was the gist of it. And so the way it works, they take the letter and they start reading it or looking at it. And sure enough, gets the drop on them and is like, oh, you know, you forgot to check if I had a gun or actually. Yeah. The way I think I remember it is he actually took it. He had big hands. He's a big guy. He's 6'2", yeah. 185.
Yeah, he was a big dude for that time and place.
He grabbed the dude's throat. He starts choking him with both hands. That's the way I read it. Mm-hmm. Then holds his neck with one hand, reaches and grabs the guy's pistol and shoots the second guy with the pistol. And then takes the one in. It is mm-hmm. how I read the story. So I'm just saying, you know, over and over again, there was another story where he was after two brothers and he knew they were hanging out at their mom's place. Do you have this story?
No.
All right.
I haven't heard this.
They were hanging out at their mom's place and he knew where that was, but he couldn't find the guys and he didn't see them around. So he kind of dirtied himself up. He actually left his wagon and his posse guy. And it was like a 20-mile hike. I don't know why, you know, you needed to be so far away, but that was the play. And he walks in and he goes in and he's like, hey, you know, I'm a thug and a criminal to the mom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just looking for somewhere to eat. Cause that's always how you introduce yourself. When right. You're a criminal. You're like, hey, and she's like, oh, guess what? This is so weird. My two sons are thugs and criminals. You guys should meet. You'll probably like each other. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that sounds great. Why don't you introduce us? So sure enough, they come home later that day and they start drinking and hanging out and they're best of buddies. And they're like, yeah, let's do thug criminal stuff together. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this is a great idea. Let's do that. So somehow he gets to sleep in the bed and they both sleep on the floor. I'm not sure how that works, but they were like, yeah, you know what? Take the bed. You're a good guy, whatever. He gets up in the night, handcuffs them both without them noticing. And I imagine these are like the old school, you know, bar through the, you know,
right, it's right.
Click, you know.
Yeah, and, you got to weld it shut.
Right. He sets them up, gets them both handcuffed. And then the way I was told the story, they wake up handcuffed and are surprised. But he probably just, you know, gave him a boot to the back of the head and was like, hey.
Yeah.
And then. And then, you know, so they jump up and he's like, you're coming with me. Walks them back to the wagon, ties them up. They said sometimes he'd have 13 people up to even 17 people, I read, chained one to the next, you know, behind his wagon and just following them around. So
yeah, they said that he captured over 3,000 criminals.
And that was the way I read that one. The you know, because the numbers, you know, you don't know.
They but
somebody
crazy,
did
right?
Yeah, a newspaper article about him about 5 years before he retired from the Marshal Service. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he said that he had done over 3,000 arrests mm-hmm. is where they were at. But, you know, that those are impressive numbers, you know.
Right. The thing was, you know, it like – this area where there are hardly any, you know, white people, this area was like, it was like your hometown. You know what I mean? He knew everybody. he had spent his whole, you know, not his whole life, but a big portion of his life in this area. And he knew everybody. He had a lot of informants. He had, you know, and he would go from town to town, and he knew people in every town there. You know, he was a well-known person in that area. And so, you know, when it goes to like disguises and stuff, people don't have pictures, you know, they remember, you know, the black dude with a wild mustache. That's about it.
You know, he's got he's got the Tom Selleck mustache. Mm-hmm. He's 6'2". Actually, I think, you know, he'd even put Tom Selleck to shame, but he had an impressive mustache.
It was better than Tom Selleck. I'd definitely say that. It was right up there with the pictures you see of Doc Holliday and those guys, you know.
Actually, you know, that's the thing. I mean, I think these guys in history, they always had the impressive look, you know. Mm-hmm. I think this guy, you see the picture, I feel like if we needed somebody to play him, he's like your Will Smith type, right?
Yeah.
Is that where we'd go? I mean, mm-hmm. he's an impressive guy. I don't know. But so anyway, so now he did have, like, you got any more stories of the arrests, anything like that?
There was a famous story where he was out with the posse.
Okay.
Chasing these guys. They're out in this big field, right? And they started shooting at him, and nobody, they kept missing him. He was like, you know, he was like a quarter mile away. And so the sheriff asked the Marshal Reeves, because he was so famous with his sharpshooting.
The go-to shooter, right.
Right. And he said, I'm going to break his neck. And from a quarter mile away, shot him right through the back of his neck with his rifle.
And that's the thing. Now, you got to remember, we're not talking about a scoped rifle.
Right. These are iron sights, you know?
Iron sights on your old Winchester. So you imagine your dad's or maybe your Winchester 30-30. Mm-hmm. And, you know, actually his, I believe I wrote it down. He had a favorite caliber, and you'd actually be impressed to know it was 38-40 Colt. But why you'd be impressed is he would use the same rounds for his handgun and his rifle. So using a handgun round in your rifle, a lot of times you have a little bit less powder going on there. So it's not as great for those long shots. You actually have to do some calculation.
Right.
Because you don't have such a big powder load, and you have a decent size, you know, bullet. So that's impressive. I did hear, you know, now I heard multiple stories, and we're going to get into this in a minute, of how he may have had different rounds for his rifle and his pistol, and there were some loading issues, but we're going to get into that. Mm-hmm. But at least later on in his career, he did 38-40 Colt, and he would do the same rounds for both. And it could be because of this incident that mm-hmm. he actually switched to the same round for both, so there wouldn't be any confusion. Just saying, that might be a thing. We're going to get into it. That's a tease, if you will. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the way I heard that story is it was actually a guy, Webb, that they had arrested. The guy was kind of a dirtbag. The story was that his neighbor was a preacher, and I believe an African American, and he was burning his field to, you know, to clear the land, basically. Mm-hmm. And the fire got a little bit out of hand and burned somehow into this other guy's land. Or actually, he was like, this Web guy was like a farm manager for the property next door. And some of the land got damaged. So he went over to retaliate against the preacher. You know, what the hell are you doing? You idiot. You ruined, you know, our stuff. How dare you? You need to be more responsible. I took a little liberty there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, and he ends up shooting the guy. So they put out an arrest warrant for this other guy. And, you know, Bass Reeves, being the lawman that he is, I'm going to go out, handle it. Goes, grabs the guy, brings him in, no problem. Puts him in jail. The guy makes bail. Now, check this out. $17,000. And mm-hmm. this is in, I think, 1902.
Right.
And $17,000 bail. So that's impressive. A store owner ends up making the bail for him. So he... ends up, takes off, sure enough, court date comes, guy never shows up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like Dog the Bounty Hunter, Bass Reeves, it's like, nope, not on my watch. I'm going to go get him. So him and this posse you're describing go, they kick in the store because they're like, you know what? The guy who's got the 17 grand, he's going to know. I'm going to go talk to him. That's what we always see on these shows, right? They go talk to the guy who paid the bail.
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, somebody sees him run out the back. And that's where Bass Reeves steps up. Hang on, 500 yards, no problem. I got this. Mm-hmm. Next shot, you know? And hey, that's how you do it sometimes. You know, when you're a badass, that's how you play the game.
Yeah. So let's so eventually Bass Reeves is charged with murder, right?
Ooh, how did that happen? That's a little scandalous.
Right. Little scandalous. So there's like 15 different stories I heard about what happened.
Now
nobody really knows what actually happened.
Right. There is no truth because the truth passed with Bass Reeves, I guess. It's accused of killing his cook, William Leach.
Right.
Now, so, yeah, go ahead.
There are rumors that they had been in several arguments because his cooking was so bad that he kept making people sick. And there's also rumors that Bass Reeves was just cleaning his rifle. Right. A cartridge was stuck in there.
That's what I heard. Now one, I heard he was cleaning his rifle. That was one version. Another version was he had different rounds for his handgun and his rifle. This is what I was talking about earlier. And he loaded in the wrong round and it was kind of stuck in there. And he was trying to get it out. And while he was distracted with that, it fired and shot his cook in the neck. Now that sounds more like the gun's kind of going to blow up on you and make more problems.
Right.
If it sounds like that would accidentally shoot him in the neck. But I'm told that
you have it open and you've got a knife with your hand on it in the chamber with the round, I feel like you'd have a pretty fucked up hand if that went off.
Or maybe some powder burns on your face, you know, when you're in there, kind of something, right?
Right.
But, you know, your mustache might get a little singed, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the deal was, all his prisoners were like, yep, he's a murderer. He did it. Yep. All the prisoners.
Right.
Now, I heard so many different versions of this. One was a prisoner's wife was with him because the guy had some kind of intestinal distress.
Mm-hmm.
And his wife came along to help him out as they were traveling home. And she, in one version I heard, supported Bass Reeves and was like, nope, I was outside. You know, I wasn't locked up like the other guys. I saw it and he's totally innocent. Another version I heard was, yep, I was outside. I saw it and he totally murdered that guy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever. But the thing was, he ended up being in jail for, again, I heard anywhere from 3 months to a year awaiting trial.
Right.
And he
with the criminals that he had put in the jail.
Right. And this was not like a happy jail. This jail was the basement of the courthouse where for a bathroom, they would stick a pot in the unused fireplace. So, you know, it gets a little hairy down there. Yeah. And they said somewhere up to 60 prisoners, you know, stuck in there. So it's not a happy time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the judge liked him and the judge was like, you know what? You're a good guy. I believe your story. And I don't really know. Now, there were other rumors that Bass really liked puppies.
Right.
Did you hear this? Right.
I heard this story too.
So there was a rumor that the cook was tired of the puppy always being a beggar. You've had dogs that are beggars and it might irritate you. Some people do get irritated with that. And you're like, look, I'm tired of this dog always whining and whatever. So the rumor was that the guy actually poured hot grease from the cooking down the dog's throat because he was begging, waiting for, and Bass was like, we'll have none of that shit, shot him in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rumor.
Right.
You know, there was also another story that fits the puppy friendly guy of, he found a guy beating a mother dog who just had puppies and he ended up like taking the puppies away from him and bringing them into town, and even kept one as his own, very possibly the same dog that was in this story.
Yeah. So this isn't the tradition where the cops got their
shooting dogs.
Their go-to of shooting dogs.
The
exact
opposite. Yeah, right.
He's the opposite one.
He's the opposite.
He's the one that shot you if you fuck with dogs.
There you go. Exactly. So, you know, again, all that, nobody was there. But the bottom line, we know that courts are never wrong, and they decided that it was a gun cleaning incident. So obviously that's what happened.
Right.
And we're going to leave that to history. You know, history's told by the winners. So there you go. Right. Bass comes out on top. Mm-hmm. Now, we also had, we mentioned 11 kids. Now, these kids had issue after issue, but when you have 11, I feel like, you know, you're bound to have some issues. A lot of them died very young.
Especially if you're Bass Reeves, because according to everything, you know, he might have been a cool dude, but he was also a mean motherfucker. You know, he had like serious PTSD type symptoms, you know, he was mean as shit. So, I mean, sometimes you got a nasty ass dad and you become a nasty ass person.
There's rumors. So he did have a daughter die from epilepsy. He had a son he lost to pneumonia. There's a famous story that we're going to talk about here about his son ended up murdering his wife, but he had another son that actually had a girlfriend and he slit her throat.
Oof.
So
can't you just shake a woman? You know, you don't have to slit her throat. Jesus, just shake him.
I don't think that's appropriate. I think that's actually the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Well, I'm saying, I mean, if you have the choice between the two, you know?
All right. They we'll give you that. So then what ends up happening is, I don't know. So anyway, he has a second son or another son. And this one ends up having a wife who cheats on him.
Mm-hmm.
And when she cheats on him, he's like, you know what? I'm out of town all the time with my job. And I guess I understand how this could have happened. And you know what? I'm going to forgive you. I don't like it. But, you know, maybe if I just beat you around a little bit, we'll call it good. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, all right. You know, that sounds right. I'm not sure that's exactly the wording, but that's how I imagine it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then he quits his job, or he quits that job, and he gets another job where he's going to be around in a local boy.
Right.
And he ends up coming home, and sure enough, there she is cheating with another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's it. You know what? I'm going to have to shoot you in the face. And maybe it was the neck. I don't know. He shoots her and kills her, and Bass is out doing Bass Reeves Marshall stuff, and he comes home and everybody's like, hey, there's a warrant for your son. None of us wanted to serve it because we respect you. And basically, we don't want to cross you because that would be bad for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's got to be dealt with. And he's like, you know what? I got this. I'll go bring him in. And the son had gone actually in the Indian country. And there was even rumors that he even tried to kill himself, the son, and ended up with a scalp wound. And, you know, he like tried to shoot himself in the head or something, but it just didn't take back.
Yeah.
But he ends up going to prison. And, you know, Bass brings him in, gets sentenced to life.
Mm-hmm.
But they said that he was a model citizen in prison. I don't know how with the herd of guys, you know, maybe prison got better. He actually went to Leavenworth, the son.
Right.
And he goes to prison and, 11 years later does get his sentence commuted and ends up becoming a barber. And, you know, everything kind of works out, but that's actually after Bass has passed on.
Mm-hmm.
So he never gets to see his son freed from prison and, you know, but
right.
Anyway,
but you know, but one of the rumors that I heard is that his son asked his dad like what he should do. And Bass was like, I don't know. I think I'd kill the bitch. And then
I heard that it was, I would shoot the guy and I would beat her is what they said that, you know.
Oh, so he didn't take his dad's advice.
No, he completely went the opposite way. Now, mind you, both options would have landed him in prison.
Right.
But
But I mean, I feel like in the grand scheme of things, if your wife cheats on you, that's on her. That's not on the dude, you know?
Yeah. that's bad. I mean it does fall on her, but yeah, I understand. I actually had a customer when I used to do like in-home repairs, and I had a customer who ended up, he was a doctor, a veterinary doctor, and I knew him, and I was like, you know, hey, so how'd you get into being a veterinarian? He's like, oh, I learned in prison. And actually, that's where Bass Reeves' son learned in prison to be a barber.
Right.
But he's like, yeah, I learned in prison. And I'm like, you went to prison? And he's like, yeah. You know, I came home one day and my wife was cheating on me. And I ended up shooting her. But she was like in front of the guy going, oh, no, don't shoot him. And he shot through her and him, killed them both.
Oh, shit.
And yeah, went to prison. Apparently got his veterinary license, and things were nothing but looking up.
Yeah, things worked out.
It worked out. You know, I knew him till he was like well into his 80s, and he was pretty happy still running the whole, you know, I take care of horses thing, and all good. And his wife was out spending money. New one. And I'm guessing she didn't cheat on
him. Yeah, no.
I don't think, you know, but hey, who knows? Yeah. That's a little off topic. Sorry. I get distracted.
That stuff happens. I mean, we all got to deal with those situations in our own way, you know?
Now, I think those are my great stories. I have a few other little ones, but I think that's the...
Yeah, so regardless...
Yes.
Bass Reeves continued to be a deputy marshal for...
Oh,
for,
yes.
What was it about?
Right.
About 50 years,
30
right?
years.
30 years.
I thought it was 30. Because he started at 30, and I think he was a marshal till about 65, and they ended up, Oklahoma became a U.S. territory instead of the Indian territory. Yeah.
So it was 1907 that Oklahoma became became a state or became, got its statehood. Yeah, 1907, Oklahoma became a state. There was no more needs for marshals. So he just stayed in Muskogee, Oklahoma, which was, you know, like the outlaw town that he was hanging around most of the time, and became a police officer.
And he did that for 2 years.
Right. 2 more years.
Right. Now, they said he used to walk around with a cane as a police officer.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool one that I heard is he actually had a guy follow him around with a bag. They said a handbag, a satchel full of guns, just in case, you know, because you're like, yeah, I might need.
He had a sidekick that just carried a bag of guns around.
You never know, right?
That's some badass shit.
He had a holster, shoulder, like underarm holster,
right?
And he had the handgun on his side, and he had the guy with his, you know, satchel of extra guns, because you never know when you have to whip somebody, you know,
right?
Now, what's, you know, some of the messed up things about our society that always kind of keep coming back and haunt America because we continue to make bad choices. But I have to point out, it's not just America. It turns out people have been making bad choices since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
It's not just on America. Mm-hmm. But once again, like, he could only arrest black people in Muskogee as a policeman.
Once it became a state.
This is not as the marshal. This is just for that last 2 years. So you kind of get like downgraded and, you know, whatever, but he's also 68 years old. I don't know if, you know,
He was a bit older.
And the last couple of months of his life, he didn't really work. They said that the sickness was kind of messing with him, but he ended up dying of kidney disease, or they call it, what is it? Bright's disease,
which is basically any kind of kidney disease. Yeah.
You know, it's like everybody got the tuberculosis, you know, and whatever all back then. It was just one of those things. But that's a long life, and basically kicked ass the whole way through.
Yeah.
you know, 70 years and yeah, you have a year of blight with your, you know, that did eat up some of his fortune with the whole Cook thing. And
Right. He made enough that he was almost able to retire when he was in his 40s. But that whole Cook thing, he had to pay a lot of lawyers, and he had good lawyers. But
yeah, they said he hired like the best guy in the area. And
right.
So, but yeah, it ended up costing him. Now, he did remarry. His wife died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, whatever I said. I don't know.
Something Jenny. Yeah, I forget what his wife's names were. He had two of them.
He had two. A Creek girl the second time. Mm-hmm. Nellie Jenny was the first one. And she ended up dying of cancer. And then he remarried. The girl had three children already. Remarried a girl. And she was an Indian girl. I think she was, I don't know. Anyway, so that's pretty much Bass Reeves. But the guy's basically a badass all the way through. And, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, lives his life kind of on his terms. You know, I mean, that's the whole thing. And that's really what sets you apart is, you know, when you do things your own way and you get things done, you know, and by your own way, I your own terms, I mean, you don't let fear rule your life. I don't mean like screw society and I do my own thing. I mean, you do what you think is right and you do what you believe. And that's
pretty and awesome. He was in at least 10 shootouts and he didn't lose one of them.
Yeah, I heard so many different versions of how many people he had shot over the years and killed. Basically, 11 to 14 were the reported, and who really knows? You know, it's I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the reality is because I heard so many stories that, you know, that contradict that. Oh, got another one for you. So one night, Bass Reeves is sleeping at the camp. He's got all his prisoners tied up. A skunk wanders into the camp and the skunk ends up like climbing into his sleeping bag or, you know, like snuggling up next to him. And sure enough, the prisoners see it and they're like, oh, we're going to get that skunk to spray him, you know? So they're all hollering and yelling and trying to get the skunk all rattled and whatever. And Bass kind of wakes up and hears the commotion, looks at the skunk, gives it a pet. Like kind of rubs it on the head and the skunk just gets up and walks away. So, you know, again, not somebody startled easy. They talked about like feats of strength. There was a story of a steer stuck in the mud, kind of sunk down. He went in and grabbed the horns and kind of wrestled it out and like helped pull it out of the mud, which if you ever gotten your equipment stuck in the mud, that can be a bit of a challenge. You know, you kind of get that whole suction thing going on, you know, that makes it a little tough. So he's kind of a badass. That's the bottom line. So, yeah, I mean, it was funny because I'd never heard of this guy. And then I end up, you know, checking this out and doing this deep dive like we do for a podcast. And pretty impressive. And I got to say, there were a lot more people that had heard of him because there was a decent amount of information out there. Mm-hmm. I know when I searched out Davy Crockett and we did things like that, there was a lot on Bass Reeves. Even there was a comic book that came out later that basically the Bass Reeves Frontier Marshal. You can still get them, the comic books. They're about $16, something like that. You know, I'm sure they weren't 16 when they were new. Heritage, who make those cheap 22 long rifle pistols, they actually made a Bass Reeves gun. And this gun is still, and it's basically got him engraved in the handle.
Right.
And they, you know, it's a 22 long rifle six shooter, but you know, hey, I was like, maybe I need to pick one of those up. Those are pretty readily available at gunbroker.com for like $159. I was seeing them. So that's something you might want to look into. But basically all around, he was pretty much a badass, you know, ended up, you know, living his life, like I said, on his terms and doing his thing. And sounds like he made the world the way he wanted it to be. He was handed a load of crap in the beginning, you know, being born a slave and into, you know, ridiculousness. and he ended up making something pretty impressive out of himself, and that's awesome. And like I said, when you live life by your terms and you dominate tons of other men, you're
right.
kind of a badass.
Yeah, absolutely.
So speaking of badass stuff, you may want to, or badasses, you might want some badass gear, and you can find that at preppingbadass.com. You might have thoughts, things you want to hear about, learn about from the podcast. You can email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. If there was any stories we missed or things you want to know about, you maybe put it in the comments. Leave us a review if you're listening on, you know, iTunes or Spotify, any of those great places. We always appreciate it. Help, you know, spread the word. The big thing is, you know, tell people about it. Tell them you enjoyed it. And if you're enjoying the podcast, you know, share it around. Spread the love is what I would say. Otherwise, I would, you got something?
That's
We're good? All right. So with that, stay safe and we will talk to you guys next week.
To Real Animals at 10:30 a.m. Eastern every Sunday during Waypoint TV's Mornings on the Flats. Presented by Abyss Battery. Power your pursuit on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.